one of the best pictures of the work of God is the work of the potter. Perhaps you've heard that illustration several times, how God is the potter and we are the clay, and He is molding us and making us after His will. And He is the master potter, and if we allow Him, if we cooperate, He will make us into a beautiful vessel. What we need to do is release, renounce. We have a word, it's called repentance. What we have to do is let go of those things that the Holy Spirit is leading us out of, and embrace all those beautiful things that the Holy Spirit is building in our lives. We've been talking about Galatians 5, 16 through 23 for a while now, because it is such a beautiful passage. And we know, as you have been reading the Word of God, that the Word of God is a treasure chest. It's a treasure chest. This beautiful passage, Galatians 5, 16 through 23, we're going to stay in it for several weeks because there's so much treasure in there, and we want to dig it out. We want to dig it out. The Holy Spirit is doing an extreme heart makeover in us. You've seen the show, and we talked about it before, Extreme Home Makeover, where they go into a house that is trashed, and the crew cleans it up, and then they have the big reveal where they move the bus, and it's this beautiful home. The title of the sermon is My Heart, Christ's Home. Sin has corrupted and damaged my heart. And we have been talking about the specifics of that damage. Galatians 5, 19 through 20. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, dissents, disputes, factions, envying, those type of things. And I had my trash can here, and we were throwing those things in the trash to illustrate that those things are trash in our hearts. And we have come together as a church to corporately say we hate those things, we want them out of our lives. Amen? We've talked about those things. And today, what we are going to do is move away from the trash and talk about the treasure. Remember, God doesn't... Christianity is just not about don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. God is not saying these are the don'ts. Galatians 5 is not a command. Galatians 5 is not don't do these things, do these things. Galatians 5 is a statement of fact. Galatians 5 is saying this is the junk and this is the treasure. Do you want the treasure in your heart? Do you want the treasure in your heart? I do. I do. And I know that you do too. Would you please open to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and stand with me as we read the Word of God. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you are not a Christian, if you have not come to the point in your life, if you have not had that moment in your life where you say, God, I am a sinner, I can't stop, I need your help, I am under your condemnation, I need Jesus Christ, I repent of my sin, and I accept Jesus' free gift of forgiveness and salvation. If you have not come to that point, you are doomed to live like this for the rest of your life. You cannot beat this. I cannot beat this. You will live in sin for the rest of your life if you do not turn your life over to Jesus Christ. But if you do turn your life over to Jesus Christ, look what He will do in you. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let's pray. Will you pray right now that God would open your heart, soften your heart, remove Satan's blinders from your eyes? You pray right now that the Holy Spirit would take the Holy Scriptures and change your heart forever. Would you now please pray for the other people in this room? Same prayer. Just pray for them. Would you now please pray for me that I would preach this sermon accurately and therefore powerfully? Heavenly Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, please use the Holy Scriptures to glorify your name and build and edify your church today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Before we talk about love, we're going to do the first one today, and that is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. But before we talk about love, we must define love. We must define love. What does Paul mean when he says the fruit of the Spirit is love? What is love? Paul is not talking about romantic love. He is not talking about that. And it's important that you know that, because in our world today, when we say love, people think of romantic love. And that's not what Paul is talking about. I love Julie romantically. Meaning I am physically attracted to her. I am sexually attracted to her. I love Julie and only Julie. That is not what Paul is talking about. That is not love here in this passage. Paul is not talking about simply friendship love. Although some friendships do have the kind of love Paul is talking about, Paul is not talking about just friendship love. What is Paul talking about? What Paul is talking about is love that is not a feeling. Love that is not an emotion. Paul is talking about this type of love. Number one in your notes. Love is self-sacrificially giving to and serving someone else. That is love, and that is what Paul is talking about. Love is self-sacrificially giving to and serving someone else. We have a huge advantage when we want to learn what love is. We have a huge advantage. We have a perfect role model. God loves you exactly this way. Take a look behind me at Romans 5, 6 through 8, my favorite passage in the entire Bible. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is love. God loves us so much that he sacrificially gave his son. The perfect verse about love, John 3:16, behind me on the screen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That is love. Number two in your notes, God loves us, and God is the perfect role model of what love is. God loves us, and God is the perfect role model of what love is. Here's another great verse about love. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. That is love. That verse doesn't even have the word love in it, but it explains love perfectly. Sacrificial giving love. Here's another one. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. That is love. God loves you with perfect love. Jesus Christ loves you with perfect love. Jesus Christ gave himself up for us. Here's another one. Ephesians 5:1-2. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. God loves us. Christ loves us. And God's love for us teaches us what love is. God loves you. By the way, this is the type of love that husbands are called to give their wives. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Ronald Fung says this, love is a reflection of the nature of God. Love is a reflection of the nature of God because God is love. When we love, we are like God because God is love. Number three in your notes, love is the activity of a heart that is in proper working order. If you do not love, it is because your heart is corrupted by sin. If you do not love, it is because your heart is damaged. You have heart damage. Love is the activity of a heart that is in proper working order, and no amount of human effort will fix your heart. You must be born again. Love has an object. Love has an object. I love Julie. That is an object of my love. I love Elizabeth. I love Rebecca. I love all of you. These are objects of love. The clean, pure, healthy heart doesn't love without an object. Who's the object? Who's the object of the pure heart's love? Number four in your notes. The clean, pure, healthy heart loves God. This is the greatest commandment. Matthew 22:37-34. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together, one of them a lawyer, asking a question, testing him, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" Look at Jesus' answer to what is the greatest commandment of all. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment." Trinity Baptist Church, seek love for God. Pray for it. Ask God to give you a love for Him. When Moses was talking to the people of Israel, he warns them that if they forsake the Lord, they will be taken into captivity. If you return to the Lord, he says, the Lord will restore you. Look at this awesome verse, Deuteronomy 36. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise, he will perform surgery, will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul so that you may live. Trinity Baptist Church, pray for that. Pray for that one thing. Pray, earnestly commit yourself, seek it, pray for it, strive for it, ask God to give you a love for Him. That you would love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is what we should be praying for. This is what we should be seeking with all of our hearts. This should be the number one priority in our lives, to love God. How do we love God? How do we love God? Look at Deuteronomy 10. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul? That is how to love God. Fear him, obey him, worship him, serve him. How else do you love God? Look at Psalm 97:10. Hate evil, you who love the Lord, who preserves the souls of his godly ones. How do we love the Lord? Hate evil. Please keep your finger in Galatians 5 and join me in John 14. This is a very, very important verse. It's why I want you to turn to it instead of just looking at it. You may not realize it, but it is the theme verse of our church. It's on the bulletin every week. I believe it's on the back where it says Trinity Baptist Church Mission Statement. And you see it right there, John 14. 15 through 23. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Jesus says, the way to love me, Jesus says, the way to love me is to obey me. Obey me. In your notes, we love God by trusting him and obeying him. We love God by trusting him and obeying him. The clean, pure, healthy heart loves God first, foremost, exclusively, ultimately. The clean heart loves God. A pure heart loves. A clean heart loves. A functioning heart loves. A healthy heart loves. Trinity Baptist, do you want a healthy heart? There's only one way to get it. The Holy Spirit. If you're not born again, you must be born again. If you are born again, Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit. Surrender to him. Follow him. Yield control of your life to him. Walk by the Spirit, and you will live a life of love. Love is what God wants from us. Look at Galatians 5. We've been in Galatians 5, 16 through 23. Look at the verses right before it. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Now look at Paul. Jesus said the same thing. Verse 14. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. If we follow Jesus Christ and live a life of love, if there is love in your marriages, if there is love in your families, if there is love in our church, it is so great. But when we turn away, when we harden our hearts, when we do not follow the Holy Spirit, but when we go our own way, it is so awful. What happens? We bite and devour one another, and we are consumed by one another. And that's what you see in the world today. It's all because men and women have turned away from God. Look at Luke 11:42. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. Woe to you, Pharisees! You pay tithe of mint and rue and every kind of garden herb, and yet disregard justice and the love of God. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. Jesus says to the Pharisees, you're so busy practicing religion. You tithe every little. They tithe mint, John the Baptist. You're supposed to tithe your crops. So you have all this wheat. You take 10% of the wheat and you give it to the temple. That's great. They tithe mint. And they neglected the love of God. Jesus says, you should have done it all. Love is the most important thing. Love is not a feeling. Love is not an emotion. God loves people in spite of their flaws, and so should we. Join me in Luke chapter 6, please. Let's learn about love. Awesome, awesome passage about love. This is love. Luke 6:27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. Whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and the reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful as your heavenly Father, just as your Father is merciful. Jesus says, love your enemies. That is love. Love is not a feeling. Love is not an emotion. Love is an act of giving and serving. That is love. You can see when a husband says about his wife, I do not love her anymore, he is totally out of touch with love. Doesn't even know what it is. But society has fooled us into thinking that love is a feeling and love is emotion, and I can fall in love and I can fall out of love and I can let my emotions run me. God says, husbands, love your wives. It's not a feeling, it's not an emotion, it's a duty. Well, what is love? Specifically, we've talked about what it is in general. We've seen it modeled perfectly by God the Father and His glorious Son, Jesus Christ. What does it look like specifically? Detailed picture of love. Please join me in 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and I know all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Now here's this beautiful detailed description of what is love. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag. It is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Verse 8 begins, love never fails. That is love. And that, Trinity Baptist, that right there is the precious treasure that the Holy Spirit is building in your heart. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? That is Christianity. We trade immorality, impurity, greed, dissensions, factions, envy. We trade all that for that. That is awesome. That is why we love Jesus Christ with all of our hearts, because Jesus Christ has transformed you and I from slaves of sin to lovers. The greatest thing in the world. Praise God. Love is what God wants from us. Love is what God wants from us. Can you imagine? Can you imagine marriages like that? Where the husband surrenders to the Holy Spirit and says, I will not hang on to any of this trash. Take me, fill me, transform me. Potter, make me the vessel you want. The wife says the same thing. God loves us and wants to bless us with this. And you and I both know how awful it is when families reject this. We bite and devour each other. God loves you and wants to save you. It's out? It's back. What did I do? I'm on the pulpit. Did I just kill this thing or what? Okay. Well, we have no debt, so we'll buy another one. Sorry, George. All right, praise God. It is so great. God loves us and wants to save us from all the pain of sin. Surrender to Him, Trinity Baptist. Surrender to Him. Give Him total control of your life. Don't wade in the shallow end of Christianity. Just dive in. The famous great commandment, John 13. A new commandment I give you, love one another, even as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. If we love our husbands, our wives, our children, our co-workers, if we love one another like Jesus loved us, we will adorn the gospel. How do we love one another? How do we do it? How do we love one another? What does it look like? Please join me in Matthew chapter 25. One of the most foundational passages on what it means to love one another. Matthew 25. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, it's verse 31, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty, or give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The King, Jesus King, will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, you remember from our study in Matthew that when Jesus says, truly I say to you, that is his little prefix for saying, what I am about to say is an absolute foregone conclusion, guarantee, take it to the bank. Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. That is what it looks like to love one another. And that is what it looks like to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? There is affinity between you and him. We are his body. We are his family. If you see my daughter on the street injured, and you pull over and you take her back to my house or to the hospital or wherever she needs medical care, you have done that for me. That's what Jesus is saying. And that's how he feels about you. That's how much he loves you. Jesus says, if someone helps you, my brother, they're actually helping me. That's what it looks like to love one another. Look at 1 John 3:16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or tongue, but in deed and truth. That is what love is. That is what love looks like. You say, I can't do that. You're right. That's why Galatians 5:22 is not a command. Look at it. We're going to close with this. Look at Galatians 5:22. Galatians
22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Fruit means product, or it means result, product or result. The Holy Spirit lives in my heart. The Holy Spirit lives in your heart. The Holy Spirit is at work in our hearts. He is doing an extreme heart makeover. And he's not just doing busy work. He's building something. He is producing a product. And that product is love. That product is love. The result of the Holy Spirit working in my heart is love. In your notes. Number 6, Galatians 5:22 is not a commandment. It is a statement of fact. Galatians 5:22 is not a commandment. It is a statement of fact. Paul is not commanding us to love. Paul is simply stating for us a wonderful truth of God's grace. Love is the result of the Holy Spirit's work in my life. Number 7, the Holy Spirit is the builder and love is the product. And finally, number 8. Love is the result of the Holy Spirit's work in my life. Love is the result of the Holy Spirit's work in my life. The Holy Spirit is cleaning out the trash in our hearts and repairing and restoring them. Love is what a properly working heart does. So my question for you this morning is, do you want a properly working heart? Do you want a heart that is clean, a heart that is healthy, a heart that functions as God designed it to function? If you're here and you are not a Christian, you need to come and talk to the elders. You need to make that decision where you bow down to Jesus Christ as the King of your life, where you surrender, where you accept the free gift of His grace. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, surrender to the Holy Spirit and follow Him. Allow Him to build your heart into a heart of love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you, thank you, thank you for healing our hearts and making us new people. Individually and as a church, we forsake all that is corrupt and we embrace all that is holy. In Jesus' name, amen.